You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Ears up, in depth. Back in the studio to cover the latest and greatest Disney news. I'm sure some of this is a few days old, so I guess it's not really that late or great. But maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it's great. Jeremy, do you have great news?
One of mine is today, and one of mine is yesterday. So late, yes. 2000 and late. I think both of them could constitute greatness. Maybe not the delivery of the article, the news itself, but the content therein, it could be construed by Disney fans as great on both counts.
Wow. I can't wait to hear the greatness.
So I'm starting off not as complaining, although I will find many places throughout to complain.
Okay, well, that's fair enough, man. I feel like we haven't done this show in like a long time.
Oh, I feel like it's been...
What's that? Huh? You disappeared from the camera, so I don't know. What's going on? Are you okay? Should I do a welfare check?
I was just laughing.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Laughing very hard.
Yeah, because for you, it seems like we just do this all the time.
God, like it's just a constant. Every day, I'm like, my God, didn't we just do it?
It does feel that way, doesn't it? Remember when we tried to plan these out? And had a calendar and everything, and it just never worked.
I mean, with my, I'm traveling so much. Yeah. Since I have seen you in person, I think I've slept in my own bed 5 times.
Wow, it's almost a month ago.
Yeah.
You've been all over the place, huh?
I'm zooming all over the place, but it's getting a little much.
Yeah, it sounds like it, dude. Sounds like you're getting worked into a cold. Yeah. Are you that person when you work so much and you're busy, then you just get sick?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, don't let it happen.
Sick
to
of
you.
People.
Well, that's.
I get
that's
to
ever
a
present.
Point. I don't know. I'm a person who I very much like drain. Like I start good and then I drain. Like sometimes people who are like around other people that energizes them. Mm-hmm. The minute I'm with other humans, my battery starts going down.
Same. Yeah.
And I get to a point where, especially if it's been a long time and there's no recharging, where I can't even physically text a person back. Like I'm just like. I don't like. I get a text and I'm like, I don't know. I just have to like put it aside. Like my brain just loses so much, and I'm at that point now where I haven't had any recharging and I'm just coasting on fumes.
Oh man, yeah. Well, here we are. Excuse me. I'm gonna murder my cat.
Oh, dead cat.
I told you to get out.
There's nothing out. Like a dead cat. Started up.
Out.
Oh, bye, cat.
Okay, we're starting this whole thing over. I'm kidding.
Oh, God. I was like, okay, let me just start. Like, let me just reset.
Yeah, because that's what you need is to be on right now.
I want to do it more. Yeah.
Well, let's get to some news, okay. Jer. I got some
All right,
good stuff.
You start.
Me?
I want you to start.
You want me to
yes.
start?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you've heard this, Jeremy, but over here in California, we are getting bombarded with this weird, bizarre, cold weather, rainy weather out here in the East Bay. A lot of our little foothills have like a little dusting of snow every now and then. And our mountain, Mount Diablo, which is the crown jewel of the San Francisco Bay Area. You would think it'd be San Francisco. It's not. It's Mount Diablo.
I wouldn't think it is.
Yeah, well, okay. It has snow on it. Actually, in fact, people were trying to ski down it last week. That's how much snow there's on that's on the mountain.
Is it ready for that? Do they have lifts and things?
No. It's literally just like a lookout where you can see the delta, you can see the valley, and you can look out and you can see the bay, and then that's it. There's nothing. It's not. We never get snow. It's super, super rare. And when we do, it's a light dusting on the mountain. That's it. But this was like multiple inches of snow, which
wow,
is weird.
Congratulations.
And, yeah, thanks. I think we're going to get some more tonight because it's, 47 degrees and raining like crazy outside. Super windy. It's bizarre. We're getting weird weather.
I see this atmospheric river has you guys right in its sights. It's just dumping everything it's got on you.
Yeah.
It snowed in Disneyland.
Well, so this is my story, which, by the way, yes, the atmospheric river. We have Alice's birthday on Saturday, and we have a jump house reserved. But I don't know that that's going to happen because it's going to be raining.
I love Californians. Like, you guys have to call it an atmospheric river. The rest of the world calls that the jet stream or weather.
Hey, like, you know what?
You just get rain. You're like, oh my God, atmospheric river. If you don't get rain, you're like, deadly drought. Like, guys, you have weather. Okay.
Well, look, man. When the docks of the reservoir are touching the bottom of the reservoir because there's no water, that's a drought. I don't know anybody who uses the term atmospheric river except just like on TV, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not just like we sit at Starbucks talking about the atmospheric river and waiting to go surf.
We do the same thing on the East Coast. Like growing up in upstate New York for many, many years, 35 years or whatever it was, however long I've been in this area, we had snowstorms. And once in a while, you'd get one that was called a nor'easter. But like four or 5 years ago, we started getting bomb cyclones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
bomb
it was like
cyclone.
That. Or they would call it bombogenesis. So like, everybody stay back. It's bombogenesis. And it's like, well, we didn't have bombogenesis for other snowstorms. Why are you calling it this now? Like, we've had very, very bad snowstorms. I never heard bomb cyclone or bombogenesis. So it is this, like, weather people like to come up with these new terms to use for what we've always called weather.
Weather. Sure. You gotta, you know, really dig down on the weeds to figure it out. Anyway, you mentioned it snowed in Disneyland. Apparently, it didn't snow. Speaking of, see, this is why I love you, Jeremy. You basically just take my whole news article and then use it as a point in conversation. Apparently, there's something called, I've never heard of this term in my entire life, graupel. G-R-A-U-P-E-L. Have you heard of graupel?
Yes. When you want to, like, you use a hook, a graupel hook, to throw over a fence to pull yourself over.
What are you, Italian?
Hook.
Give me the graupel hook.
Yes, it is. It's also an after-dinner drink in Florence.
Oh, yeah, I would love that. We'll have two graupels, please. Graupel apparently are soft, small pellets formed when super-cooled water droplets freeze onto a snow crystal. A process called rimming. If the rimming is particularly intense, the rimmed snow crystal can grow to an appreciable size. This is from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So this is not me just writing fanfic, like erotic fanfic about weather systems. Okay.
This is Noah trolling all of us. First of all, that's not called graupel. That's called sleet. And when it gets big enough, it's called hail. Like, that's what it's called. It's not graupel, and no one's rimming anything.
Oh, man. And this is from the Daily News. The unusually cold weather hitting California has introduced a new word to many. Graupel. That, meteorologists say, is the term for the frozen precipitation reported Wednesday in parts of the Central Valley. So apparently it's not new. It's just new to us out here in California. But apparently that is what hit Disneyland. It wasn't actually snow. It was graupel. There you go. And possibly some small hail. Like, we got hail the other day here. Actually, we're standing out in it. Like, wow, it's cool. And then it started getting bigger. And I was like, this hurts. I'm going to go back inside.
Yeah. Then it gets loud. It's like, bang, bang. Yeah.
We only get hail about 5 minutes over. But anyway, so just wanted to put that out there. Calm everyone down. Because I hear a lot of people going, it snowed in Disneyland. But apparently, it was graupel. Not is snow.
When it graupels, is it graupeling? Like, what is the verb?
I think it's probably graupeling. Yeah, grouping, maybe. Maybe you kind of can shorten it a little bit, take the L out. You can growp. That's what I think it means to walk through it, is you're grouping.
I don't really like this. I think we should just stick with what we know. We have snow, hail, sleet. Like, we don't need growp. But, we don't need this.
But what is it when a snowflake gets rimmed by water and then the water freezes around the snowflake? That's a different thing. It's not, that's not hail.
I don't care.
I know.
I know. I'll tell you what it is. It's gone quickly.
It's gone. Yeah. It hits the ground.
It doesn't accumulate.
It's out of here. I sometimes feel like being a meteorologist is like the easiest job in the world because you're never 100% right. And everybody knows that. So right off the bat, can you think of another job besides maybe psychic that you care, tarot card reader, that you can just immediately go, I could be totally wrong, but still listen to me?
Disney pundit.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I believe I fill those shoes.
Oh, well, that's true.
Quite well. I don't know if anything's true.
That's right. All right. Well, speaking of truth, hit us with a truth bomb news wise, Jeremy. A bomb, a truth bomb cyclone.
Okay. Bombogenesis coming right at you now.
Yeah.
It's genesising as we speak. In the parks, they tried to raise prices, but now it's causing quite a crisis. And, well, not really a crisis at all, actually, but I just needed a word. And so Bob Iger's out there today, actually, speaking at the Morgan Stanley Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference, admitting that Disney's pursuit of higher profits at its theme parks division has had some negative consequences.
Whoa.
And not just me kvetching about it either. In particular, price increases at Disney's parks have backfired because they made a day at Disneyland or Walt Disney World in Florida a less happy experience for visitors, including some of its most cherished fans. Iger said, quote, in our zeal to grow profits, we may have been a little too aggressive about some of our pricing. He continued, I think there's a way to continue to grow that business, but be smarter about how we price so that we maintain that brand value of accessibility.
I don't know that anybody ever thinks of the parks as being accessible and have it being a brand value. Like, it, does he mean accessibility from a pricing standpoint? Because they've priced people out for years.
They price people out for years, but I think it is sort of it goes back to maybe what was a brand element of Disneyland is your land, mm-hmm. you know, to all who come to this happy place. So, and I think that, you know, there were people, you didn't bankrupt yourself going to Disney like you do now.
Well,
you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
My family wasn't really well off when I was a kid. And like, we still made one trip to Disney, but you know, there were a lot, you know, now there's articles about how people plunge themselves into credit card debt just to go there, which seems not as accessible.
No.
Of course, who knows? Maybe my parents plunged themselves into credit. I have no idea what they were up to. In the 3 months since Iger's return, Disney has scaled back some of its price enhancements at the parks already. They reorganized the company and announced a plan to find $5.5 billion in cost savings, which will include the elimination of 7,000 jobs. Bob Iger continues, one of the things that we had to do was we had to improve the guest experience by reducing crowding. It's tempting to let more and more people in, but if the guest satisfaction levels are going down because of crowding, then that doesn't work. We have to figure out how we reduce crowding, but maintain our profitability. And we did that well. Well, of course. I mean, it's not like they were losing money in 2017.
Right. You know? Like, they just realized they could make more.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And so, but also part of that was, as we've discussed here, they had a big loss of money maker in that time period, which is Disney Plus. And so when that happens, and they had the big purchase of Fox for $74 billion, I think it was. So when that happens, every other division of the company has to work that much harder to make the stock. So you've really got to get every drop out of parks because you are losing money on Disney Plus and you've gone into debt, like your customers, to buy Fox. So I think that's probably where that came from. And that guy who's sort of now dropped out of the rush to get onto the Disney board. What was it? Nelson Peltz.
Yeah.
He pointed, this is one of the points he made, was that they were leaning too heavily on profits from the park and deteriorating, and ultimately deteriorating that business to support money losing segments of the business. In January, the company reinstated free overnight self-parking for its guests at its hotels at Walt Disney World. In recent years, Disney had been charging visitors nightly per vehicle fees. Also, the company expanded the number of days at Disneyland when adult tickets are offered at $104, which is the lowest price option that they have. So they haven't necessarily lowered ticket prices, but the nickel and diming, which I actually think is what was the bigger complaint amongst fans, mm-hmm. was some of that starting to come back with like the overnight parking thing. On the flip side, Disney admits that some things have been priced too low. Bob Iger is admitting that launching Disney Plus at $6.99 a month in order to quickly amass a large footprint of subscribers was perhaps not the best strategy. They have since had to raise that price in order to try to mitigate billions of losses at that division. Additionally, streamers like Disney Plus have learned recently that the key to growing and maintaining a solid streaming subscriber base lies in fewer but higher quality options rather than a quantity of lower quality shows to stream, which is, you know, Duh. Why do we have to learn this lesson?
Right.
Walt is the one, you know, what did Walt say? Quality will out. That was what he said about everything. And they were like, oh no, we need to have a robust. We have to have all sorts of shows.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No. And we were in
this. I keep Netflix because all I watch on there's The Crown.
Just buy it on DVD. Yeah. It's funny because like we were, you know, we weren't the only one saying it. There was a lot of people saying it, but we were one of the people saying this. They don't need to do this. They could live off of their back catalog. They could live off their vault.
Yes.
Put it all up there, charge $6.95 for it, and walk away. Check on it in 5 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? They would be doing just fine. But I understand it's like a new media arm, I guess, new outlet, a new avenue to get people, you know, hooked, and they've been putting out some good content, some not so good, but some really good content. So it's worked, you know, but yeah, I definitely think they hit the pavement a little too hard on that.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, the nickel and diming thing is what's really annoying. So for example, one of the things that they were nickel and diming in, and this is when they still are, PhotoPass used to be included with annual passes at Disney World.
Yeah, right.
And at one point last year, I was at Run Disney and I was like, why am I not getting my photos? Like, if my photos aren't downloading from the race. And someone was like, well, do you have it with your annual pass? And I was like, well, I have an annual pass. It comes with it. And my friend was like, no, it doesn't come with your annual pass anymore. And so I had to go subscribe. So actually, I renewed my annual pass literally yesterday.
Oh,
and they were like, do you want to add PhotoPass? And I was like, well, I guess I am. Yeah, I have to. There's a gun to my head.
Yeah, right.
But
you know where I live.
I think the nickel and diming is annoying. I think I wouldn't have as much of a problem with ticket prices and annual passes going up a bit every year. The problem I have with that is that they've continued to go up alongside a simultaneous decrease in service and quality. And right. That is not okay. Like, if you're going to maintain a certain level of quality and service, fine, I get it. You have to raise prices. But they were doing the opposite. Prices were going up. You people, up until last month, you could stay at a Disney deluxe hotel apart from the Grand Floridian, and you weren't getting cleaning. They weren't cleaning these $800 a night rooms every night. That you can't do that.
Or like, apparently you can,
but
apparently you can, and it's not going to stop anybody. Yeah.
In the short term you can, but clearly right. They are recognizing that this is a problem. They have figures that we don't have access to. They know how many people have booked vacations. They know their occupancy rate 6 months out. Something's going on. If they are out there, they're trying to right the ship. Clearly some tangible changes have been made. He's out there talking about it. But also I would like to add, he's talking about it as though he came in to save the day. A lot of these changes did not start under Bob Chapek.
No.
We started seeing this in 2016, 2017, 2018,
yeah,
while our friend Bob Iger was still in charge. But I guess at least he's being a bit introspective, whereas Chapek was just like full speed ahead.
Well, and I think that he can afford to be, you know, introspective, as you put it, but not take the blame. He can just, because the way he speaks, we were a little too, you know, headstrong on this. It's, in my opinion, it's just sort of like veiled, oh, the other guy did it. I think we forget these things. We forget how many price increases happened under Iger. And that's where I think a lot of people were upset. You're absolutely right, Jeremy. It's, you're taking away like parking and photo pass and stuff like that, and raising prices on the tickets and raising prices in the parks at the same time. Both of those together, that's not okay. And Disney used to just sort of, you know, feather a price increase here and there, a couple bucks every now and then. No one's going to balk at that. But you jump at $5 and you take away parking, like, your people are going to notice. And they're not going to like it. But apparently, and this is, again, this is what I say. Anytime we have an opinion about, oh, it should be obvious that no one's going to like this, the parks are doing just fine. There's no lack of demand to go to a Disney park anymore. So what does it matter? What does it matter? I mean, nothing matters anymore.
Maybe. I think people, they're saying spend is up. Spend is up, I think, in large part because of Genie Plus. I do think that they're having trouble moving merchandise. Because they keep giving out extra discounts. The cast members had 50 off discount just recently. Annual pass holders were at 30 recently. Like, that's unheard of. Before pandemic, we were not getting 30% off merchandise. So I think customers are I don't necessarily think they're spending more or significantly more. I think they're shifting where they're spending it. And a lot of that's going to Genie Plus, and they're cutting some of the other areas.
That's what you have to do.
You have to.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing Disney Plus or Genie Plus, you're not buying that third Spirit jersey.
One's enough for me.
Get the Spirit. All right, Jeremy, let's do one more story and we'll take a break. It's a short one. This is from the D23.com blog. And apparently there is some kind of Avatar experience coming to the Disneyland Resort, but it's a little unclear as to what that actually means. No one really knows.
Right.
So everyone knows you have Pandora, the world of Avatar out there in Disney World, and that's supposedly pretty great, and people are very excited about it. There's no place in any part of Disneyland Resort to have anything remotely like this, but apparently Bob Iger has said, hey, there's going to be some Avatar experience coming, and that's leading a lot of people to guess about what it, you know, could possibly be. But until then, we get to hear from the cast members who portray some of the young Pandora dwellers in James Cameron's multiple Oscar nominee Avatar, The Way of Water.
By the way, these people have an insight onto what's coming?
I know, right?
Oh.
This is from Jack Champion, who portrays Spider. He says, let's go! I'm so excited for Avatar fans to experience the world of Pandora, just like we did here at Disneyland. And then in brackets, it says resort, which I find very funny. So corporate is just correcting the proper name. It's not Disneyland. It's Disneyland Resort.
Okay. So it's not going to be put.
I don't think it's going to be put in Disneyland. I bet it's going to be DCA somewhere. Maybe in the Hollywood, like, backlot area or whatever, which is because that's where you can put it. There's nowhere else to put it. Similarly excited was Trinity Jolie Bliss, who plays Jake and Netri's youngest child, Tuck. She says, oh my gosh, Avatar is coming to Disneyland, brackets, resort. She told D23, the Valley of Mora is my favorite place to visit whenever I have the chance to go to, brackets, Walt, Disney World. I've always told my friends how amazing it is to be there and how one day they have to experience it themselves. Now with Avatar coming to Disneyland, I can take all of my friends and we can experience the world of Avatar together. Woo-hoo! I don't know, man. I can't stand it. Bailey Bass, who plays someone else, says, I'm over the moon about the Avatar expansion to Disneyland brackets resort. As a huge Disney fan and fan of the Avatar rides in brackets Walt Disney World, maybe I'll stop saying that because I just find that very funny. I don't know. I'm excited for Avatar fans to be able to experience the world of Pandora at Disneyland. So maybe it is going to be at Disneyland. I don't know what's going on. I already know it's going to be awe-inspiring, jaw-dropping, and magical. While details are short, it promises to be as amazing as those found at Walt Disney World Resort. Quote, if you've had a chance to experience Pandora, the world of Avatar at Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park, you have a pretty good idea of what Imagineers are capable of. said Disney CEO.
We're capable of.
Right, yeah. You have a pretty good idea of what Joe Rohde was capable of. Said Disney CEO Robert A. Iger when he announced plans on February 8th. What, not Bob Iger, Robert A. Iger. Yeah. Whoever wrote this is trying to
Where
kiss
is this
some
article?
Boot on D23.com.
Oh.
Yeah. James Cameron said the films are all about connection with physical environment and with family. I was thrilled to talk with Bob Iger about additional opportunities for people to step into the wondrous world of Pandora. Nobody really knows what's going on, but people are very excited about it. And what can you do? Are you going to build a ride? I would imagine it's some kind of walkthrough. Maybe they have where they used to have like that Frozen experience. Or like snow in there, or whatever. Maybe something like that, where you can make a little room or whatever. But I can't imagine it's going to be permanent.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I just think it would be funny if then when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, if they said, "Hey, Patrick Mahomes, you just won the Super Bowl," and he said, "I'm going to Disneyland Resort."
The Disneyland Resort and theme park
in Anaheim. Yeah. Part of Disney Parks, experiences, and products.
Yeah, give me the GPS coordinates, Patrick. All right, let's take a break, Jeremy. We'll come right back. We'll do a couple more news articles, and we'll wrap it up. Hang on, everyone. It's Ears Up In Depth. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to the newsroom on In Depth.
All right, thanks for sticking around, everybody. All right, Jer, hit us with some news, man.
It's been 7 years since he's been gone, but now it's time to welcome back Imagineer Bruce Vaughn. Everyone's on Twitter about this one. Yesterday, the Walt Disney Company announced that Bruce Vaughn will be returning to co-lead Walt Disney Imagineering as Chief Creative Officer alongside current president of Imagineering, Barbara Snoozabooza, who I can't stand. Vaughn previously held the title of Chief Creative Executive at Walt Disney Imagineering before leaving in 2016 after over 20 years with the company in Imagineering. So that was quite a loss. "I've remained an Imagineer at heart," Vaughn said. He continued saying, "So I'm thrilled to join Barbara and reunite with this phenomenal global team of creators and innovators during this pivotal time." Yeah, join Barbara. I'm glad they're bringing me in to override all of Barbara's crap.
Yeah.
Basically is what he's saying there, as far as I can tell. The news of Vaughn's return to Imagineering has been seen in has seen an overwhelmingly positive reaction in the Disney fan community and on Twitter and in my house. Founder of Mickey Views, Braden, or at Sir Braden on Twitter, tweeted, quote, "This is very good news. I believe this move, as well as some accompanying moves which are in the works, will prevent further de-theming," which we've lamented about lately. Of course, I've been talking about that, especially when you consider what they're doing with the renovations at the Boardwalk, Disney's Grand Floridian, and this garish, grotesque monstrosity to mundaneness, the Polynesian DVC tower that's been going up. Disney news site WDWNT even posted its own op-ed on why this is what they characterize as the best Disney news we've had in years. Over on Twitter, user at WDWPro tweeted out saying that a source had reached out through an intermediary to relay that the Walt Disney Company had recently lost all confidence in the Imagineering division, not just the Walt Disney Company, all fans. And this is the reason the new co-leader had been brought back into the fold. Gee, so you hired someone from an architectural firm that makes office cubicles, and you're shocked that the world's heretofore preeminent creative institution has lost its magic? I'm totally shocked. Bruce, I'm speaking, of course, about Snooze Abooza. Bruce Vaughn's notable accomplishments for the company include Pandora, the world of Avatar at Disney's Animal Kingdom, Cars Land, which is nothing to sniff at, Buena Vista Street, the redo in California Adventure, new Fantasyland expansion in the Magic Kingdom from 2011. It's amazing. Also, he worked on the Disney Dream and the Disney Fantasy cruise ship. So he's got a lot of really good, successful, and well-received Disney creations under his belt. So
absolutely.
No one to sniff at.
Yeah.
Consider projects realized since his departure. Toy Story Land at Hollywood Studios, which good luck finding a tree or anything of interest. It looks big. It just looks like big and plastic and stupid.
What is with Florida not wanting trees anywhere? You guys don't like shade, and I don't understand it.
That's your thing. I don't know what you're talking about. You throw enough shade for all of us. There's plenty of trees.
Have you been to Epcot before? Have you ever been?
Have you ever been to Epcot? I was there yesterday. Thank you. There's plenty of trees. All right.
Sure. Yeah.
Also, projects that have been realized since his departure, Pixar Pier, that wonder of imagination. And even, to be fair, I'm going to say it, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which for all of its achievements is hardly the land that was promised to fans initially after several rounds of budget cuts, and as well as the Galactic Star Cruiser, which is cutting back to just 2 voyages per week in the fall due to serious lack of demand over there for its 104 rooms. According to one source speaking to thatparkplace.com, the lackluster results of Imagineering as of late are what forced Disney Parks president Josh Shimaro to bring back someone with enough gravitas to override poor decisions, even if they're already in progress. So, good news. I do think this is, you know, we talked about Bob Iger in my previous stories making some changes, reverting back, maybe pulling back a bit, being a bit introspective. I think this is the first tangible thing we've seen since Iger came back, actually since the pandemic, that shows instead of a move by the company away from the Disney people, the Disney brand, the things that are people who know Disney and towards these people. I mean, they brought in all these people from the hotel industry. They were out there recruiting and bringing in people from Marriott and Hilton. And then, of course, Barbara Snooze Abooza, who came from Gensler, an architectural company that literally designed the cube that I sit at work. So, like, okay, I don't know. I like this. I think this is maybe a righting of the ship, and I'm happy about it. Put that in your iTunes review, baby.
Absolutely.
Well,
here's an interesting thing. You know, it's more of a Lucasfilm thing, I guess, than like a Disney-centric thing, but I thought it was interesting none the least. So on the same day it became public that Star Wars projects from Kevin Feige and Patty Jenkins are now dormant, Lucasfilm has been hit with a breach of contract lawsuit over the upcoming The Acolyte series. The executive producer for the show Ballers, Karen McCarthy, has taken the Kathleen Kennedy-run Disney division to court over being pink-slipped from the Acolyte series last year after just a few weeks of work. What makes this action all the more bitter and telling of a streamer competition for top talent is that McCarthy was being actively courted by Apple at the same time to help run their eventual series called Sugar, starring Colin Farrell, according to the March 7 filing. She decided to throw her lot in with potential long-term commitment to Lucasfilm and The Acolyte in early April 2022. So, you know, imagine that's your choice. You go with Apple to a Colin Farrell series, or you go to Lucasfilm and do this Acolyte thing. She decides to take the contract with Disney. Apple moves on.
Yeah.
After setting up the corporate pursuit by Apple and Lucasfilm and how McCarthy was the choice for The Acolyte, the jury-seeking complaint details how she got to work quickly on April 7th, 2022, and how a broad strokes agreement full of UK hotel allowances and per diems was sent to her agent, David Morse, on April 11th. In fact, that email to Morris from Lucasfilm VP Physical Productions, Candace Campos, the exec makes a point of saying how, quote, we really want to make this work. 2 weeks later, without explanation, reason, or justification, Lucasfilm told McCarthy it wanted out of the deal. Reads the 12-page filing in Los Angeles Superior Court. It goes on, by this time, the Apple offer was gone. Apple had to move on and found another executive producer for Sugar. McCarthy now had neither deal. So she just got, like, finessed out of either deal. As disappointing as that new situation was, it seems like McCarthy took it in the spirit of this just being show business. Then apparently she went to Lucasfilm and requested to be paid for her contract. I mean, I don't know if she had like an early termination clause or, you know, whatever. Lucasfilm denied that they even had an agreement. Basically like wrong number. Oh, who's word. This? Yeah. Even though that they had made their offer to her, containing all of the material and deal points, McCarthy accepted that offer. And Lucasfilm had McCarthy start right away, like she was working the next day. And number four, Lucasfilm sent to McCarthy a memorandum of agreement memorializing the terms, including that McCarthy had already commenced working. So they acknowledge that she's already started to work on this, but now they're saying there was no deal.
Well, also, wouldn't something like that be in writing? Like, that seems like an easy thing to prove. I can't believe.
Yeah, right. In further disregard of McCarthy and the work she had already done, Lucasfilm offered to pay her $5,000 for a single day's work.
Oh.
Which, that's pretty good, but apparently she did a little more than that. McCarthy rejected Lucasfilm's anemic and insulting offer. And even though Lucasfilm acknowledged that McCarthy had, in fact, performed work for it, Lucasfilm never paid McCarthy for that work. And she's therefore forced to bring this action to hold Lucasfilm accountable, blah, blah. Blah. With that earlier statement of the EP losing out on millions of dollars hanging in the air, McCarthy's attorneys are asking for a wide range of unspecified damages. And of course, Lucasfilm did not, was not available for comment.
No, of course not.
So I don't know what's going on, man. I mean, it sort of seems like standard Hollywood, you know, stuff, but I think because it's tied to Disney now. I think it sits even harder, especially because they are sort of having like labor issues in Florida, and they've been, you know, hounded in the news over the years about not paying people enough. And now they're just, you know, on International Women's Month, Jeremy, they just kicked this woman out.
On International Women's Month. You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, this is very cynical, but I wonder if part of Bob Iger going out there and making a point to say, like, we're charging too much in the parks is to help the optics of not paying the people more. Do you know what I mean? Hmm. Like, if he was like, no, we have to keep doing, like JPEG was like, hey, you keep coming, we got to keep charging more. We got no choice. You know, like that master of spin. I wonder, is that part of the whole package of, you know, his negotiation, like, well, look, we're not even raising prices anymore, guys. Can't afford to give it. I don't know. Maybe it might be a little cynical, but that occurred to me as you were.
I mean, I think that's a fine idea. I think it's also him trying to buy goodwill. I mean, I don't think that he's in a vacuum where he's like unaware of his, you know, sort of cult like status about people love him and he's going to be the savior or whatever. So I think he's doing that to just buy some goodwill and saying, like, right, well, we've been a little aggressive over here at Disney and we're going to back off. But there's no, has he done any really actionable things? One of the articles I was going to read and I didn't do it was like he's talking about a new strategy for Marvel films and how we don't need as many.
Yes.
Maybe, he's like, maybe, you know, do we, a sequel is great, but do we need a third and a fourth movie?
Right.
Let's move on. And I think he's right with that. I mean, look at Ant-Man, even though it made 400 and something million dollars or whatever, it was considered a tank, a stinker. So, you know, but also Ant-Man is not, I'm not an Ant-Man fan. Who cares? I don't know. So what's he doing? I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I feel like he's just stumbling along, trying to like dog paddle and keep the ship afloat enough till he tags somebody else to take over his mess again.
He was the one who, before the pandemic said, we're taking our foot off the Star Wars pedal.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
And then JPEG got in and floored it. So I feel like that this is not uncommon for him to say that sort of thing with the how many sequels do we need? I wonder. I do think he's trying to buy goodwill. Trying to get goodwill everywhere he can. You know, I did say tangible thing. He did reinstate they've gotten rid of the paid parking. So some things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see more announcements like that.
I think so, too. And I'm curious as to why he says these things, you know, like why come out and say, I think we're going to back off on doing all the Marvel releases because we're doing too much. I don't know why, you know, do we need a fourth movie for this character or a third movie? I mean, why even say that at all? It sort of makes you not look like you guys know what you're doing over there.
Well, he did say it with another comment, though, which is there's 7,000 characters in the Marvel universe, right?
I don't know.
Aghast that there were that many. So he said, so when you couple it with that, it's sort of like, oh, fresh creativity. They're going to tell more stories as opposed to beat ones to death.
Okay.
That sounds good if you're an investor or an analyst, I think.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Wait, you mean someone in the media cherry picked a comment? I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. Is that it, Jer?
That's it for me.
All right, that's it for me, too. Well, I appreciate you coming and doing the show, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, go recharge now. Go do some more work.
I'm going to do some recharging.
Yeah. No, dude, I'm going to do work. Get those Excel spreadsheets over to me.
My whole life is an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm the only 45-year-old man on the planet who doesn't know Excel. Like,
I'm quite good at it, but like I know it. It's all I do.
Oh man, no! I learned it high school. I was like, I'm never going to use it. I don't know.
I use Excel in my personal life.
Oh geez.
Like I have a budget that I live with, like all Excel with graphs. I have it all. Oh yeah,
you're
my
ready.
Life is an Excel. Yeah, yeah.
That's exciting. Exciting? Whatever. Thanks a lot for tuning in, everybody. I appreciate it. And until next time, see ya.